So when I was praying for Josh Jen, I kept hearing the word recalibration, which means to carefully assess, set, or adjust. Here's the synonyms for that. It would be something like amend, fix, improve, redress, remedy, and straighten out. And although there's been some recalibration, I also felt like the Lord was bringing everybody back to a particular scripture, and it was this. And he said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's all summed up in that. It really is. And in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, it says this. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. First love, God. Second love, love people. They're both the same. Their loving people is like the first. And we're called to love God and to love people. And they're intimately linked together. And I felt like the Lord was recalibrating for this purpose. That we would come back to that place of loving God and loving people. And that we would come and shift, you know, to a place of soul winning. That we would begin to shift and focus again on the reason that Jesus came, that none should perish. Proverbs 11:14 says this, the fruit of a righteous is a tree of life, the righteous, but he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. And I feel like this is something that the Lord is speaking, that we're going to shift from first love into winning souls. That loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, but the second is like the first. I love God, so I'm going to love people. And but I just want to encourage you with that word, and I'm going to speak to it a little bit more. And I also felt like the Lord gave me this scripture, and this is the one I'm going to teach out of today. But before I do that, I want to read it, and I want to encourage you, if you're a leader in Josh Jen, or you're listening to this sermon, you're not in this congregation, but somewhere else. I really felt like the Lord, as I was reading this, was showing me this is actually the heart of your leaders. This is actually the very heart of your leaders. So let's read this together, because I'm going to teach out of it and give a word for all of us. But 1 Thessalonians 2:1-8 says this, you yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we were treated at Philippi just before we came to you, and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us courage to declare his good news to you boldly in spite of great opposition. So you can see we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. You know, the enemy always comes and accuses, but God sees the heart. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. And our purpose is not to please God, not people. It's all about God, pleasing God. He alone examines the motives of our heart. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we are not pretending to be friends just to get money. As for human praise, we've never sought it from you or from anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had the right to make that demand on you. But instead, we were like children among you. We were like mothers feeding and caring for their own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only the good news, but our own lives. And I feel like this is the Lord speaking to encourage you, even in the leadership. And he's speaking to encourage even you that are here this morning. as the Lord recalibrates us, as he recalibrates us into first love and to loving people, into the first and second commandment. I feel in my heart that Josh Jen is about to grow. And I really want to declare that over you as a congregation, as a movement, you're about to grow. You know, a lot of people will come and they'll preach different evangelism techniques, and I almost hate to use the word evangelism, because when you start using the word evangelism, everybody goes, oh boy, here we go, right? I like to call it love-vangelism. But here's what I felt like the Lord was saying. He's just saying, make room. Just make room. He wants to bring growth again. He wants to bring a focus on loving him and loving people. And, you know, a lot of us are sitting here today and we're thinking to ourselves, well, you know, Kathy, that's you. And, you know, the pastors have a job to do. They got to win souls and they got to do this and that. And it's like, no, actually, that's not true. You don't have to be called to a formal position in the church. You don't have to be called as a pastor or a leader in the church. Guess what? We are all called to ministry. We are all ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single person sitting here that knows Jesus, you have been called. You have been called by the living God. And I think that what Paul was sharing in this passage is such a good word. It's such a good model for ministry. And we're all called to ministry. The ministry of Jesus is our ministry. And so we're all called to minister. And I want to just teach out of this passage about this ministry that we are all called to do. Because I feel like it's something that the Lord's going to use in your lives to bring about growth as we are called to make room. So here we go. Paul, who was a minister to the Thessalonians, gives us such a good model of ministry. Listen, they were mistreated, it said in verse 2. When you share your faith, it's actually possible to get mistreated. You know, it's actually very hostile in my nation. It used to be everybody was like, yeah, talk to me, you know, and share your faith. No, it's not like that anymore. And you're not in a nation or in a place where you're suffering extreme persecution. There's persecution breaking out all over the world. We've talked to people who have truly been persecuted. But the reality is Jesus was rejected. So you're going to be rejected. Just want to let you know, in case you didn't know. You will be rejected because Jesus was rejected. You're not any better than your teacher, right? So rejection is just all part of it. And Paul said, they experienced rejection, but they shared the gospel with boldness, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later. And also their motives were pure in verse 3. They had pure motives. They were compelled by love. They were concerned about the eternal destiny of the people around them. They shared their faith to please God, not people. And we need to do the same. They were not trying to win people with flattery or seek the glory of men. They weren't pretenders. They weren't doing things for money. It was so funny in Ghana, these young men said, hey, Mama Kathy, a man came to me. He said he had a word for me. Bring me 2 chickens and 12 eggs, and I'll give you the word. What should I do? I said, run away from that guy as fast as you can, right? The motive is money. The motive is money. But Paul wasn't like that. And they weren't those kind of pretenders. And they were gentle. They didn't burden anybody. They recognized that these guys were new believers. And they treated them like a nursing mother with tenderness. And they not only shared the gospel, but their very lives. And I want to emphasize those 2 points. First one is we need to make room in our lives. We need to make room. We need to make room. God has created every single person in his image. Every single person in his image. And he loves them. And it says in verse 8, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only the good news, but our lives. We shared our lives with you. If we want others to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and meet the incredible God that created them, then we need to love others enough to actually make room in our lives. Make room in our lives. That's what Paul did for the Thessalonians. They weren't a project. They weren't to meet a goal. They weren't to check a notch off his belt. No, he was making room in his lives. I remember when the Lord told me, Kathy, I want you to make room. And I thought to myself, well, what do you mean make room? He goes, I want you to start making room. And it's interesting because I work in the church. I'm only around Christians. I don't know about you, but you get saved and everybody around you is a Christian. You go to group, you go to home group, everybody's a Christian. You go do your job, you come back to your home group, you're out there, you're only with believers. Over time, you don't know anybody who's not a Christian. So you have to do it with intention and on purpose. You actually have to make room. Make room in your lives for those that don't know the Lord. And, you know, when the Lord was impressing this on me, and he's speaking to me about this, I took off to another state where my parents live, and I was working on my book. And so I'm writing this book, and I go there to get away from everybody. And I go to this coffee shop. I don't know if you have it here, but in the States it's Starbucks, right? There's a Starbucks on every corner. And so I'm in this Starbucks. I got my headset in. I'm listening to worship. I'm praying. I'm about to do my writing. I actually left California, went to another state, Arizona, just to get away from everyone so I could write my book. So I'm sitting there writing my book, and all of a sudden this young girl taps on my shoulder. And I'm thinking to myself, do you not see that I have earplugs in and that I'm trying to isolate myself from everybody? And she taps on my shoulder. And I pull my earplugs, I go, yes. And she goes, what you writing? I'm thinking, and I'm kind of getting irritated because I want to write, you know, I'm in the zone. And she goes, no, really, what's the title of your book? And I'm like, I could hear the Lord going, make room. Make room. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, okay. And so I said, you know, and then here it comes. I got to tell her the title of my book. I go, well, the title of my book is So I Married an Exorcist. That really is the title of my book. And so And you can imagine the conversation that came up after that. And so that opened a whole conversation, knowing the Lord said to me, make room. I just put everything away. I made room. And the next thing I know, she just starts weeping, pouring out her heart. She was with her dad in the Starbucks. They had been traveling across many states. Her mother had rejected her. There was a lot of pain before I knew it. I'm leading her through forgiveness. I'm leading her back to Christ. She used to walk with Jesus in a youth group, but everything that happened to her said, no more God. And she walked away from the Lord. And she was a prodigal, and I had to make room. I had to make room. You know, we all know we might be Christians. We've been a Christian a long time. But God is asking us to make room. You know, it got so crazy on that trip that literally after that happened, I knew that they were hanging at that Starbucks. So I decided to go to a restaurant so I didn't run into them again. Because I didn't want to be interrupted. I came to write my book and I didn't want to be interrupted. And I'd already blessed them. So I went to another place. And I'm writing my book and this woman comes up and taps me on the shoulder. She says, hi, what you doing? And I'm like, Lord, am I going to be able to write my book or not? You know, and he's like, make room. And the next thing I know, I'm just like, well, I'm just writing a book. I'm visiting my parents here in Arizona. And she said, oh, that's so wonderful. We lived here for this many years. She starts talking to me. The next thing you know, she's crying. She said, you know, my son was killed by a drunk driver. And she starts weeping. And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I bless her. And I said, you know, let me pray for you. I want to encourage you. Let's forgive that drunk driver. I don't know if I could ever forgive him. And I mean, you know, she kind of manifested in the restaurant. That's okay. The kingdom of God can break in anywhere, right? And so the next thing I know, I'm leading her through forgiveness and we're praying together and I'm, I didn't get one thing done on my book. I had to make room.